Shabbat Shalom. So today's Torah portion is Parsha Chuchat, and it starts in Numbers 19:1, and it goes all the way to 22:1. And here's what we read in Hebrew. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron. This is the legal statute that the Lord has commanded. Instruct the Israelites to bring you an unblemished red cow that has no defect and has never been yoked. Dear Lord, I just pray that you would bless us all on your Shabbat and give us your peace, and that these won't be my words, but that you would speak through me and touch everybody. Yeah, in your name, amen. Okay, so a whole lot happens in this parsha. Multiple deaths, conquests, victories, treaties, miracles, defeats, mistakes, ordinances, and a lot of walking. So I'm going to read, starting with chapter 20, verse 2 through 11. There was no water for the community, so they assembled against Moses and Aaron. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "If only we had perished when our brothers perished before the Lord. Why have you brought the Lord's assembly into this wilderness for us and our livestock to die here? Why have you led us up from Egypt to bring us to this evil place? It is not a place of grain, figs, vines, and pomegranates, and there is no water to drink." And then Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly to the doorway of the tent of meeting. They fell down with their faces to the ground, and the glory of the Lord appeared to them. The Lord spoke to Moses, "Take the staff and assemble the community. You and your brother Aaron are to speak to the rock while they watch, and it will yield its water. You will bring out water for them from the rock and provide drink for the community and their livestock." So Moses took the staff from the Lord's presence, just as he had commanded him. Moses and Aaron summoned the assembly in front of the rock, and Moses said to them, "Listen, you rebels, must we bring water out of this rock for you?" Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with his staff, so that there was a great amount of water gushed out, and the community and their livestock drank. Now, many times throughout wandering through the wilderness, this very thing has happened, where Israel starts to get, I don't know, complainy, whiny, and impatient. And so something goes wrong, and they all just know it's Moses' and Aaron's fault, or the Lord's fault. Now, Moses has been through this and knows how to deal with it, like the way he dealt with the sons of Korah. He pleaded with God to not to destroy them, but God had to anyway after they continued to rebel. He intercedes with God also in multiple instances to provide for them as well. But this time, Moses had probably had it with them, and in angry frustration, struck the rock instead of speaking to it. This might not seem like a significant sin, but had a lifetime consequence. Moses was forever banned from entering the Promised Land. One of Moses' mistakes might have been him honoring his anger above what the Lord told him to do. This was something holy that the Lord wanted to do for Israel, to show them his glory. But in a way, Moses made it about himself. So remember, we don't have to make the Lord's works more dramatic. We only have to do what he says with humility. The rock also represented Yeshua. And if you remember, the first time Moses struck a rock, it might have been in Exodus, I'm not sure. But the Lord had told him to do that. The Lord told him to strike that rock. But this time he told him to speak to it. Yeshua was also struck once for our sins when he died, and once for all time, and then was exalted. But Moses struck this second rock that may have represented Yeshua exalted and in his holiness. So this is like one of the most debated, like why Moses was banned from the Promised Land among the rabbis and stuff. It's like one of the most debated things. So these are just some opinions, but okay. So verse chapter 20, verse 12 through 13. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me to show my holiness in the sight of the Israelites, you will not bring this assembly into the land I have given them. These are the waters of Meribah, where the Israelites quarreled with the Lord, and he showed his holiness to them. We see here in verse 12, the Lord passes the aforementioned judgment on Moses. And in verse 13 is something very interesting. For one, we see Israel acting as if they were still called Jacob and contending or wrestling with God, retaining the stubborn nature that they were known for. But a lot of that stubbornness is directed towards God, which can be very problematic. The real interesting point is in verse 13's ending. And he was hallowed among them. It doesn't just say that he was hallowed or that he was shown to be holy, but it says uses this word among in some translations. But he was hallowed among them. Others say he showed his holiness to them. This seems to me that something out of the ordinary is going on. So God's holiness was shown or seen and among or in the midst of the children of Israel. And yet we know that no man has seen the Father. So there can only be one correlation. So Yeshua is the rock, for the Son has revealed the Father. Okay, so chapter 20, verse 14 through 21. Moses sent messengers from Kadesh to the king of Edom. This is what your brother Israel says. You know all the hardships that have overtaken us. Our fathers went down to Egypt, and we lived in Egypt many years. But the Egyptians treated us and our fathers badly. When we cried out to the Lord, he heard our voice, sent an angel, and brought us out of Egypt. Now look, we are in Kadesh, a city on the border of your territory. Please let us travel through your land. We won't travel through any field or vineyard or drink any well water. We will travel the king's highway. We won't turn to the right or the left until we have traveled through your territory. But Edom answered him, you must not travel through our land, or we will come out and confront you with the sword. We will go on the main road, the Israelites replied to them, and if our herds drink your water, we will pay its price. There will be no problem, just let us travel through on foot. Yet Edom insisted, you must not travel through, and they came out to confront them with a large force of heavily armed people. Edom refused to allow Israel to travel through their territory, and Israel turned away from them. This passage shows that the hatred between brothers persisted even up until this point in history. Jacob/Israel and Esau/Edom were brothers, but Jacob got the birthright from his father Isaac, even though Esau was the elder. And so Esau has hated Israel ever since then. When Jacob's son Joseph brought the family down to Egypt, Esau may have thought he was rid of them, but Israel only grew whilst in captivity. And after hundreds of years, these two families were now two mighty nations of the earth. Now I think the Israelites were the stronger, but maybe not. The Israelites just want safe passage to the land that was only on the other side of those mountains. Like, there's the Moab, I don't know, Moab, mountain range, Jordan Valley, and then the Promised Land. But, where was I? And I don't think maybe that they were intimidated by the older bro. So they may have been a little intimidated by Edom, but I also think they just didn't want to cause any more enmity between them. But still, Edom was holding a grudge. And after two tries from Israel, Edom sends out an army to scare them off. Now, whether Israel really wanted no war or whether the Edomites really were that strong, I do not know. But Israel decides to go around. So now we're moving on to chapter 21, starting in verse 4. And this is about the bronze snake. Then they set out from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to bypass the land of Edom. But the people became impatient because of the journey. The people spoke against God and Moses. Why have you led us up from Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread or water, and we detest this wretched food. Then the Lord sent poisonous snakes among the people, and they bit them so that many Israelites died. The people then came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Intercede with the Lord so that he will take the snakes away from us." And Moses interceded for the people. And then the Lord said to Moses, "Make a snake image and mount it on a pole. When anyone who is bitten looks at it, he will recover." So Moses made a bronze snake and mounted it on a pole. Whenever someone was bitten and he looked at the bronze snake, he recovered. Now for the second and the stronger of the two messianic types in this parsha, one being the rock which Moses struck, and this one the bronze serpent. Time had passed since the last time Israel rose up. Aaron had passed away, and Eleazar is now the high priest. They were very close to the promised land. So a lot has changed, but not the Israelites' complaints. They have said almost the same exact thing at intervals since they left Egypt. "Why have you led us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" Then followed by the supposed cause of the dying: bread, water, leaders, etc. They are probably the last ones to speak up. Over the years, others have been there, and like the others, they may have been like the last stronghold of not complaining, but now they're just going with the flow. So I think at the end, this particular group of people have given up, even when it's been very clear what happens when you side against the Lord. The last 39 years or so. So this is like near the end of their wandering through the wilderness. So this time something new happens. Some translations say fiery serpents. This one says bronze serpents. It says, what were those? I don't really know. They might have a bite like fire, or maybe made out of fire, or they may have been just bronze colored. But that depends on the translation. But the point is that the Lord gave them too much to handle, and they had to humble themselves before there was no one left. When things are for the most part okay, we tend to forget the Lord, or even feel we should stand up to him. I think during those times, we also forget who is holding it all together in the first place. We think he is not doing enough, when in reality, he is doing everything. The people repent, so the Lord provides the way of salvation. Anyone who looked at the serpent that represented Yeshua was saved from death. So now I'm going to read from Psalm 105, verses 1 through 6. Give thanks to Adonai, call on his name, proclaim his deeds among the peoples. Sing to him, sing praise to him, tell about all his wonderful works. Honor his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek Adonai rejoice. Search for the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Remember the wonderful works he has done, his wonders and the judgments he has pronounced. Your offspring of Abraham, his servant, Jacob's descendants, his chosen ones. So if you can get anything out of this, I hope it's like, look to the Lord now and not after he has humbled you. So fall on the rock before the rock falls on you. So. Shabbat shalom.